This week's episode brought to you by Doppelgangers, Inc. Have you ever committed to a party or event that you really don't want to go to? Doppelgangers, Inc. is here to help you fulfill your social contracts while simultaneously allowing you to avoid social interaction at all costs. How? We create clone slugs of you and send them to your event in your place. They are outfitted with a nervous system, allowing them to feel pain and respond to questions at a second grade reading level. The clones are disposable and don't have a strong enough frame of reference to feel anything but confusion and sadness, so they welcome death. Doppelgangers, Inc. For when you know you can't stomach another one of your spouse's company Christmas parties, call Doppelgangers, Inc. today at 555-ABOMINATION. Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk, an opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Your panel of expert hosts each week are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology, and Professor David Day, the foremost expert in scare no-nos. New theatrical releases always get priority, but we also review older horror movies, both good and horrible. I'm David Day.
I'm Bryce Hansen.
And today, oh man, I'm so excited because we're reviewing one of my very favorite movies, The Invitation. But first, we're going to plug our website, which is www.horrormovietalk.com. You can head on over there. You can find links to all our social media and, of course, all of our podcast feeds on whatever platform you desire. We post new episodes every Wednesday, so make sure to subscribe and leave a rating on iTunes. You know what? Also, it would really help us out if you shared this podcast with a friend or with your entire social network. That would help a lot, too, because you know what? We're growing and we can't do it without you, but we're going to do it anyway. So you might as well just get
jump
on the train.
Bandwagon.
Yeah, just get on this train. Hook your horse or whatever, your cart to this horse. And get moving, because it's gonna fucking happen, you people.
Yeah, the other thing I want to say about the ratings on iTunes, we do have a goal to get to 200 ratings by our 2-year mark, and we're
got some headway.
You know,
to
we're
make.
about a year and 3 months into it now, and we've got like 35. So I know there's, you know, kind of an inflection point. And we're getting more ratings now than when we did when we only had, you know, 20 listeners.
Yeah.
But if you could, in the goodness of your heart, leave us a rating. You just need to tap the stars. You don't even need to leave a review.
We won't stop bothering you.
If you got an iPhone, just leave a rating. If your dad has an iPhone, take it from him. Leave a rating. Everyone that you know that has an iPhone, just ask him, can I borrow your phone for just a second? Look up Horror Movie Talk and leave a
How are you supposed to get the iPhone out of your dad's hands? He's got that old man strength. He's got that. He's like, no, I'm not reviewing.
Well, because old people take naps.
Oh, that's true. You can just get him while he's slipping.
Anyway, so help us get to our goal.
Help us get to our goal. Today, as I mentioned, we will be talking about one of my very favorite movies, The Invitation. We'll start out by giving a brief review and our score for the movie. We score on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being a miserable dredge where it makes you angry that you had to sit through it. 5 being a totally average film that hits all the expected marks. That's totally average at 5. And 10 being so good that it transcends genre boundaries and should probably get an award of some kind, but it won't because it's a horror movie. After we give our score, we'll get into spoilers and take a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the film. And later in this episode, we will be doing two things. We will be doing the game Kill Count.
Oh, you changed your mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not Kill Count. It's Lifetime Movie or Horror Movie. I wanted to keep you on your toes.
We have a template for a reason, David.
I went into this thinking it was going to be Kill Count, and then it turned into Lifetime Movie or Horror Movie. That's the one I prepared for, so obviously right. That's right. The one it is. And then also,
you actually did better. You don't actually usually change the games on here, and it's always confusing.
Shut the fuck up.
This time you changed it, and it was still wrong.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you.
So, and the other thing we will be doing is we will be actually going through some of our iTunes reviews and reading them.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done that.
To not only thank people, but also to
put people on blast,
to also to boost our egos, to make us feel better about ourselves.
Right, right.
So with that, let's get into the movie. We streamed The Invitation on Netflix, where it has seemed to have lived for quite some time.
I think it's a Netflix original, isn't it?
I don't know. It doesn't have any of that branding around it. And it was released in theaters.
Was it?
Apparently, yeah. Huh. According to some of the trivia that I read. But it has been, like I can understand why you might think that, because it's been there for probably its whole release life, which I believe it was released in 2015. This is a movie that I enjoyed watching the second time around almost as much as I enjoyed watching it the first time. It's tense and feels strangely real, making it quite effective for me. So with that, let's get into the trailer.
Each and every one of us is on a journey. And we feel that it's important to be on that journey with the people you love. You've been acting so suspicious of our hospitality.
This beautiful moment is upon us. Tonight is the night our faith is made real.
Something doesn't feel safe here.
So, yes, as I mentioned before, The Invitation is a 2015 movie, and it's directed by Karen Kusama, and it follows Will, played by Logan Marshall Green, and his girlfriend Kira, played by a completely unpronounceable name that I'm not even going to try. You can check it out on our post, on our review, on our website, under the Episodes tab.
Which one is you trying to say?
Kira's name. Yeah,
go. Emma Yahtzee.
What's her last name?
Cornialdi.
That's
Cornialdi.
I mean,
Cornialdi.
Emma Yahtzee. Emma Yahtzee. Okay, whatever.
I mean, it's you just hooked on phonics worked for me.
And we have no idea how correct that is. So yeah, maybe it did. Who knows? Anyway, Will and Kira are on their way to a party that they have been invited to. Okay. The party is being hosted by Will's ex-wife, Eden, and her new husband, David. A bevy of Will's old friends are also in attendance at the party, which everyone agrees seems kind of weird. The party, I mean, seems kind of weird. This air of weirdness follows the party through conversations and asides in bedrooms, kitchens, and lounge areas until we learn the reason for the party, to introduce everyone to this cult known as The Invitation. Eden and David are joined by two personal friends who nobody has met before, a flirty, sexy woman named Lady... Named Sadie.
Named Lady.
Lady. Lady. Named Sadie. And a big, strong man named Pruitt, who is strangely intentional.
Right. So that's Pruitt's played by John Carroll Lynch.
Yes.
Which is an actor that you will recognize. And I just got to say, he's...
stellar.
He's just like a really interesting presence because he can be
so menacing.
The epitome of father figure.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff he's in, he's playing the father. Mm-hmm. Everything that I can think of. Or he can just be like an intimidating physical presence.
Yeah.
Because he's like a big dude, you know, but you can tell he's got dad strength.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Speaking of dad strength. Yeah, this is a really interesting role for him because it's a way you've never seen him before, and he pulls it off perfectly.
Right.
And you kind of go, and he's got that face. I mean, he's just got that face that you're like, I've seen that guy in a couple things at least. But yeah, what an intimidating man he is in this movie. As the party progresses, Will becomes increasingly skeptical and worried about the intentions of his host, but no one else seems to share his feelings of paranoia and dread. Even when his hosts are caught locking the doors with a key from the inside, the party continues. But how will this party end? The Invitation is an incredibly well-crafted movie from beginning to end. Its use of camera work, acting, lighting, casting, direction, the soundtrack, it's all intentional and skillful. This movie plays perfectly to me. The feelings of dread and seemingly unfounded but strangely well-founded paranoia is right in my wheelhouse. I think my favorite part of The Invitation is the discomfort that you feel in a party is so well intoned, and all of the acting matches so well with the characters and their desires slash intentions. It feels real, and it feels upsetting, and I love it.
Yeah, I remember when you told me to watch this movie originally, like a couple of years ago, I think. Before we had the podcast, and you were raving about it, and I watched it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is so David. This like plays to all of David's fears of there's something socially going on and someone expecting something out of me and no one's saying it, even though I'm very plainly asking.
Yeah.
And it's really great because it feels so real.
It feels perfect.
Everyone's actions in this make sense.
Yes.
And it holds up. It's like the kind of the Schrodinger's cat kind of situation where it could go either way.
Right.
It could be absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Or it could be something. And every time you think it's like, it's definitely this way.
Right.
Then it'll be like, nope.
It's a string pulled very taut. And that string could break at any second. And when it does break, it goes so quickly, it feels real. It's the exact kind of thing that might happen in real life.
Yeah.
And my only real criticism that I have of The Invitation is that the pacing slumps a teeny tiny little bit in the middle. But I mean, frankly, it kind of works overall. I think if anybody this is my way of being like, it's not completely 100% perfect. Exactly. But it is.
I mean, even like a slump, it actually works to its favor because if it gave away more by the midpoint to where it's like, a traditional three act story, the second act is when everything goes wrong.
Right.
Right. And if everything went wrong in the second act, like it would actually be a pretty uninteresting movie.
It would be a detriment to the movie for sure.
And, it holds it off until the last act.
Yeah.
And that works to its favor.
It makes up for it with an incredible crescendo of an ending. I give this movie a perfect score. This is a 10 out of 10 for me. What do you think?
I think I'm going to go 9 out of 10. I don't think it's like, it's really, really great and well crafted, but it's not perfect in my mind.
What keeps it from getting there?
I don't know, actually. Maybe I'm going to change it to a 10. It's perfect.
For what it is, and it's really nothing more. It doesn't try to be anything that it's not. Yeah, it's...
And I can't think of another movie like it in terms of... tone and subject matter.
Yeah.
Like, or matching the tone with the subject matter, because there's a lot of cult movies.
Right. And there's a lot of...
There's not a lot of cult movies that specifically focus on...
A dinner party.
The introduction
right.
of the cult.
Right.
And friends.
And there's a lot of home invasion movies. And this feels like a home invasion movie almost because it's very home centric. You know, it's all within the confines of this rather large Hollywood Hills home. But it's not a home invasion. It is a very unique thing. I haven't seen a movie this is kind of its own little thriller genre.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I think I just identified it, I think to like push it over to a 10 for me, it usually requires that I'm like absolutely delighted watching it. Uh-huh. Like I'm blown away or laughing or just really disturbed.
Yeah.
And there's no real point where that happens with me. Maybe it was just the expectation set.
Sure.
Knowing that it was going to be a good movie. But that being said, it's not supposed to do that necessarily. It works that it kind of lulls you into like really thinking about it in real terms. You know, there's not any, there's a couple moments, but they're not so larger than life that it pulls you out of just the situation of something's off.
Right. The thing that makes me delighted about this, that really lights me up about this, is it's like an honest look at suffering and sadness and the human condition, you know? And
right.
And that I'm such a sucker for, like, this, for how we are flawed, you know? Like,
yeah.
That story of you can't escape you kind of thing. That's such,
right.
It speaks to me, you know, because that's my story. It's like, you know, it's like I can't be anyone but me. And that's great and terrible at the same time.
Right.
It's such a great dichotomy. And this movie, that's the point of this movie, is like, you can't get rid of the sadness and also find the happiness, you know?
Right.
You need both.
Yeah.
So with that, let's get into some plugs for us. If you guys didn't know, where have you been? We got a Patreon, and you can support us directly through that. We sure would appreciate it. And we had two new Patreon members join this week, and I'd just like to give a shout-out to Dan and
Graham.
And Graham. Thank you guys for jumping in to our Patreon and supporting us. We sure do appreciate it, and we just thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for keeping the lights on here at Horror Movie Talk.
And if you want to get access to exclusive patron content, join our Patreon.
Yeah, we have for every episode of Horror Movie Talk that we record, we also release a, you know, shorter episode between 20 minutes and 40 minutes.
Depending on how into it we get it.
Right.
And how much we ramble.
They can
but
be.
But yeah, it's mostly just us shooting the shit or talking about personal stuff or
gossip.
other stuff around Horror Movie Talk.
Yeah.
Just kind of what we would normally be talking about after the recording stops.
Yeah, we definitely say things in the Patreon podcast that we would never say in the Horror Movie Talk podcast, because
right.
There's a paywall, and no one who really cares, there's just a lot of personal, there's just a lot of really personal shit that goes on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you can also support the podcast by buying anything on Amazon as long as you go to horrormovietalk.com and click through the green button at the top of the site. Go ahead and bookmark that button, make it your portal to Amazon, and bam, forever you will be supporting us with every purchase you make at Amazon. Also, hey, did someone say that writing was fun? I think I did. I like to write a whole lot. It's what I do for my job. And you know what? I enjoy horror movies and I enjoy writing about them. But how can I give back? How can I give back to you, the listener? Well, I can offer you the chance to write for Horror Movie Talk. We need writers for our blog, and we are accepting new writers. And if that sounds like fun to you, it is. Just reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or through a post on our site, and we'll be happy to see what you got. We did start with a new writer this week, Kimmy. Kimmy started writing for us. She wrote a couple blogs, and the first one has been released. It is Creepy Dolls and Puppets.
No, through... Scary Doll and Puppet Horror Movies.
Okay. This is a very...
It's a very specific... title that I insisted that we used.
Yes. Well, and it's, you know, it's well written. It's doing really good in Google. And
yeah, if you want to really do us a favor, Google, don't go to horrormovietalk.com. Google scary doll and puppet horror movies, and then find our listing.
Yeah,
and click through,
which won't there. Be hard because it's highly ranked.
It should be on the first page, but if it's not, it's even more important that you go find it on page two and click through.
But I should say, thank you very much for starting writing with us, Kimmy. We sure do appreciate it, and your enthusiasm for writing is off the charts.
Yeah,
we're cranking out the blogs, man.
Yeah,
and
put the call out to writers, and we have gotten several people respond.
Yeah,
and we'll get those blogs streaming in. Just one of those things we spend probably 10 hours a week just doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And with a full-time job and families, it's just like we just don't have time to write as much as we want. So,
but if you want to support Kimmy, make sure to go check out her profile on our website. It's got a link to her website, which is titled The Horror Lounge. And next episode, I'll have the actual URL and I'll read it.
I think it's a blogspot.
I think it is a blog.
Thehorrorlounge.blogspot.com.
Okay. Yeah, that or some iteration of that. So check her out. We sure do appreciate her and you guys. So thank you again for listening.
Also, Shudder.
Oh, yeah.
If you are interested in really great horror movies that are curated that you can stream, and you're not satisfied with the selection on Netflix and Amazon because you're a horror connoisseur and it doesn't have any good giallo or more independent horror movies or even the old classics, check out Shudder.com, and when you sign up, use code HMT at checkout, and you'll get a 30-day free trial instead of the standard 7-day free trial.
Yeah, and Shudder code is working. Again, for those of you who missed it last episode, we did get the Shudder code back up and running, so you will get that 30-day free trial instead of that stupid fucking 7-day free trial that we hate so much.
Yeah.
And we'll actually today we are recording an episode that we viewed on Shudder and is exclusively available on Shudder.
Yeah.
Henry,
Portrait of a Serial Killer. Yeah. We are doing a review on. I don't know when it's going to come out. It's going to be kind of a in the can episode until we get around to it.
If you guys haven't seen this movie, it is in. You are into disturbing shit.
It is harrowing.
It for a movie that was shot in 1985 and didn't find a release until 90 because it was so controversial and weird.
Yeah, so we'll be doing an episode on that, but yeah, check it out if you haven't seen it. It's on Shudder. That is an incentive for you to use the code.
And with that, let's get into spoilers.
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 So, again, this movie is available on Netflix, so if you haven't seen it, it is a 10 out of 10. Maybe check it out before you listen to this post. I'll try and hop on Facebook today, which is Saturday as we record this, and give y'all a warning shot over the bow so that you can watch it, hopefully, before this airs on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's kind of a foregone conclusion that if it's on Netflix or Amazon, people will have access to it.
Yeah,
for us, but I don't think that's always the case, you know. And actually, I read that Netflix is losing subscribers in the US.
I'm sure they are.
It lost like a lot of subscribers this last quarter.
Well, when you have all when you have literally the entire U.S., uh-huh. you have nowhere to go but down.
Right. And then they've got new competition.
Yeah.
Streaming lots. Services that are going to be a lot, like the Disney streaming service is like half the price.
Wow.
And it's going to have a lot. I mean, all the Disney stuff plus their own productions that are going to be
so much
like blowing Netflix out of the water, I think.
Yeah.
Just The Mandalorian is going to just eat everyone's lunch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing shapes up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, you know, I think that there's this is going a little bit off topic, but I think Netflix is an interesting place that really, truly free speech will end up living. And for that reason, well, I mean, you see comics and they're allowed to do whatever they want. They're given carte blanche.
Yeah.
And a lot of creators are too. And so there's an interesting thing that happens when, you know, when Disney gets a hold of your shit, it gets like the production value gets way upped a lot, but also it kind of gets streamlined into a digestible cube.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Disney and Apple is obviously going to be
curated
family
heavily.
Friendly.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that they'll have, you know,
yeah, they have their Disney dark
HBO type stuff.
But it's still not the same.
Yeah. And Netflix, the other thing about Netflix is they are just spending so much money on content. They've been spending just tons and tons of cash on content and still will be paying it stuff that they've already created.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Netflix ends up like in a couple of years.
It will. So the beginning of the invitation starts out with Kira and Will driving through the Hollywood Hills, and they're kind of some exposition is being laid out for the audience. They're on their way to a party, and the party is being hosted by Will's ex-wife and her new husband.
And they've been gone for 2 years.
Yes.
No one's talked to him at all.
They've been strangely absent. And then
it feels like a ton of good horror movies start out with the couple driving somewhere and then something happening, like something hitting, like the car hitting someone.
Yeah.
Because Get Out starts with them hitting a deer.
Yeah.
Right.
The Shining is obviously the standard of like, we're driving to the place.
There was another one that we reviewed just recently that had a car ride.
Yeah.
What was that?
Us had a car ride at the start, I think. No, wait.
No.
No.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember anyways. Either. Maybe it was The Ruin. No. Anyway, so they hit a coyote in the road, and then, like, it's not like... Then they dwell on it for a while, you know, and I mean, yeah, I guess as any movie would, but this is agonizing. It's it's what you dread the most. driving in a car and hitting an animal and then the animal being alive.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had this happen and it is rough.
Really? I've never...
You've never hit an animal?
I've never hit an animal with my car.
Yeah.
On my mission in Texas, I had a companion that was a big hunter back at home. And, you know, he didn't get to hunt while he was on his mission. But he would try to hunt with the car. So if there was any squirrels in the road, he would literally try to, like, juke them under the wheel.
This is a lane of person. Because I know these people as well. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're... absolutely psychotic to me.
He wasn't psychotic, but he was a little too casual about the taking of small creatures' lives.
Yeah.
It was more of like a joke and more of a thing, but he was serious. He would have hit it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this, I have a a long time problem with killing dogs to evoke a reaction, to evoke an emotional response in the audience. I feel it's cheap. But that being said, in this, you never get eyes on the coyote ever. You don't see it ever. You just hear
it. Yeah,
you do. Oh, you do?
You see its head and its eyes. It shows it briefly.
Okay. I must have blinked because I did not even see that.
Yeah. But I don't know. To me, for some reason, if it's a coyote, I don't care, because coyotes like go around eating cats and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but still. So then he recognizes that it's suffering, kind of the through line in the movie here, and he gets his tire iron out of his trunk, and the movie doesn't spare you from him walloping it to death. So that's kind of how this movie starts out. And then they kind of, they continue their journey up to the house.
Yeah.
Let me just say, Logan, okay, if you don't agree with me on this, there's been so many times where I'm like, that person looks like this person, and you're like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. Logan Marshall Green is the most fucking Tom Hardy looking motherfucker I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, I was going to say, if you say no, damn it, Bryce. No, this guy looks dead on like Tom Hardy to me. He's in this movie, he's wearing like long. What are you making all these faces about? What's going on?
I'm just looking ahead.
Well, don't. I'll get you there. Don't worry, baby. Yeah. So he evokes Tom Hardy to me. He's not a poor man's Tom Hardy. He's just a motherfucker who looks just like Tom Hardy, or maybe Tom Hardy looks like him. I don't know who's older. So they get there and the party is awkward just right away. And everybody,
I don't know. I don't agree. It's not awkward right away. I mean, there's a situation where people are seeing each other for the first time in a long time. So it's a little awkward.
It's a little tense.
There's a little unspoken knowledge, mostly around the relationship between
Eden,
Eden and
Will.
Will.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just a second. I'm struggling with a lot of stuff. I've got like a canker sore on the side of my tongue, so it feels like I'm slurring my words because I don't want to bite down on it. And also I got a frog in my throat. Anyways, it doesn't feel too weird. It just feels like
a little tense.
There's a little bit of interrelationship awkwardness that hasn't been addressed yet.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything nefarious early on. Like you would not be able to tell something weird is going on.
Well, that's the difference. That's just the difference between you and me. Oh. And you and Will, because I identify so heavily with Will in this movie. He's on edge from the get go. Like, I mean, and how could you not be? So, I mean, it makes sense. You know, he's going to a party hosted by his ex, and he's going to meet her new husband. And they've been gone, like, mysteriously for two years.
Well, what's the thing that sets you off? And what's the earliest thing that sets you off? The first thing that I can think of that happens that shows that there's something weird happening isn't, like, weird in a nefarious way. It's just weird in a weird way. Like,
he sees Sadie kind of down the hall.
Yeah.
And she's, like, naked-ish.
Yeah, so Sadie is introduced, and she's just this girl that Eden and Mike, is it? What's the...
Eden and David.
Eden and David brought home from their travels in Mexico, and it sounds like she's just like a fuck buddy. And so that's just kind of weird, like, what's going on here in terms of relationship status?
Yeah.
But it's not like...
Well, the way he sees her is strange, because he's kind of... So this is a house that he used to live in.
Well, this is like the dog with the squinty eyes kind of weird. It's like, I know he's the evil one because he's got real shifty eyes. Just the way it's shot in the distance, she's kind of getting dressed or something.
Touching her leg. It's like, ooh. What? Okay. Okay, hang on. Sidebar. Why is it that if a girl is touching their leg, I'm like, yeah. But any guy touching their leg is like, eh. Like, I mean, it's not just that I'm not attracted to guys. It's also that girls would be like, he's touching his leg. Who cares?
I don't know. I think it is probably that you're not attracted to guys.
You think?
Yeah.
You think there are girls who's like, oh, he's touching his leg. Like, he's like...
Well, usually girls aren't necessarily attracted to men caressing themselves.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Why are guys attracted to girls who are caressing themselves?
Because they want to do that.
Yeah, but, okay, so why isn't it true both ways?
Well, guys aren't, their legs are hairy. You don't want to caress a hairy leg. You probably want to, like, grab men if you're attracted to them.
Hmm.
But you don't want to, like, just pet, like, a
hairy leg. Is hair just universally gross?
Yeah.
I don't think hair's gross.
I mean, when you're talking about caressing, it's like a tactile thing, and shaved legs or like smooth skin is a lot more pleasurable to caress than just kind of a normal leg that's got hairs all over it.
He's been looking at my leg the whole time. I'm wearing shorts, so the whole time his eyes have been...
It's because I want to caress your fucking legs.
I've been pointing my toes. Uh-huh.
It's been like a little ballerina over here.
So regardless of whether or not the party is weird, Will feels weird, and the camera is, like, acting weird for him.
Yeah.
And it evokes a strange Game of Clue sort of feel to it. Like, it feels like all these people are meeting under unknown pretenses, and...
Yeah, everyone's like, hey, we're all together. Does anyone know what this is about? Nope. Well, it's good seeing you.
Yeah. So then we get a little bit more of an insight into what's on Eden's mind when Will approaches her in the kitchen, and they're kind of alone. And she tells him that, you know, they're kind of like, how are you doing? Are you okay? Did you worry about me? And he's kind of like,
kind of weird. Eden is kind of betraying that she's still kind of attached to Will.
Yeah, did you think about me?
Yeah, just the way she talked about that was very, like, she has not moved on.
And there's the actress who played Eden did a wonderful job, and...
Yeah, Tammy Blanchard, and I think she's been in some Mike Flanagan movies.
Oh, okay.
Hasn't she?
She looks very familiar, although she has a bit of that Hollywood-ish sort of face with lips that have been worked on and maybe a forehead that has been had some Botox put in it. But she does a great job of playing kind of like this that woman, this Hollywood Hills aloof, beautiful, clinging dress sort of...
Okay, she's not the actress that I was thinking of, but...
She's sort of just this, like, this radiant kind of goddess sort of character that a lot of women that I think of being like, L.A. or Hollywood girls.
Right, very, very California... wealthy socialite.
Yeah, like, I do yoga, Pilates, and ascend to heaven to wash my butt every day.
Yeah, so this is actually probably the scene that is the first insinuation that something is actually very wrong, because Ben comes in and during the conversation.
Yeah.
And she's, like, describing, you know, how she's able to put pain behind her and how this... Am I right? Is this the same scene?
Suffering is optional.
Suffering's optional, and Ben's like, well, I mean, it sounds kind of crazy. Smack!
Yeah.
Just like the hardest slap.
Yeah, she just
to this guy's face.
Wails on him.
And it's the first, like,
whoa,
show of violence, and you're like, what the hell was that? Like,
where did that come from? And as quickly as it arises, it is squashed. Like,
right.
So he is left with his stinging cheek, and he's like, what was that about? And as soon as he and Will, Ben and Will, so Ben is kind of the portlier man.
Right.
As soon as he's the party guy, you know, and as soon as they walk back into the lounge area, Eden approaches him and is like, I've forgotten all about it. You should too. And he's like, okay. And like, he's strangely game. Like he is the kind of game that you would be if you didn't, if you were just like, I want to have a good night and I don't want to cause a scene. So, okay.
Yeah. He's not bothered by it. He's just more like bemused.
Yes.
But yeah, that was a great follow up to that scene. She just comes up with some wine and says, I'm already moved past it. You should too. Which is like, I don't think.
Sounds like an order.
I don't think you're able to just tell me to move on. You just slap me in the fucking face.
This is
for
this,
no reason.
This
so.
Is how my paranoia.
Fuck you, bitch.
This is exactly how my paranoia arises. I catch on to all these little things where it's like, that didn't sound like a request. That sounded like an order. And fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is exactly.
This is very David.
My chain of events that I'm like. Okay, so you're going to hurt me, and now you're going to tell me to fucking chill out? Fuck. Like it's nuclear war now. And
David's level of alert is about what Will is at the midpoint of this movie at all times.
Just yeah.
Like, wait, what? What did you say? What did you say to me?
It's a torturous
Are
life.
You trying to do this to me?
Are you? What's happening right now? and then what happens, like, this is just trigger central for me. This is just going down the list of me being like, oh, fucking ugh. So then they're all like talking in the lounge area. Will is on high alert. He's like, shit's weird, and he's looking around. He's watching David, he's watching Eden, and as everyone's talking and everyone's kind of already, you know, doing something, David walks up to the front door with a key and locks the front door from the inside. They have locks on the inside. Previous to this, in the kitchen, he was like, hey,
did you guys install the bars on the windows?
Seems like you put some bars on the windows around here. When did that happen? She's like, oh, there's a prowler. You know, it just can't be too safe.
Yeah, one of the elements of the movie is that this is Eden and Will's house that they lived in when they were married.
Right.
So he's very familiar with the house, and so he's just kind of like observing changes.
Yeah, and so as he watches David lock the door from the inside, he's like, what was that about?
Why are you locking?
Why
are you locking the door? And David's like,
prowler.
Yeah, there's been break-ins around. It's real bad stuff, so I just lock myself from the inside.
And Will's like, okay, but you know, there's 10 of us in here. I think we'll be okay. Yeah. And besides, what about a fire? What if a fire happened? What then?
And then there's just like a 2 Mississippi stare down.
And then David does the triggers me even harder and is like, okay, buddy, I can see you're really worried about this. Let's just make you feel better and unlock the door. And I'm like, give me that key. Like, how about I hold on to that key from now on?
Yeah.
Like, buddy.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
So the lighting in this, I just like to take an aside and say a lot of elements in this movie are perfect. The lighting in this movie is dim. And it feels like kind of like a mid-century mod Hollywood home.
Uh-huh.
And it's very posh. And so the lighting throughout the entire movie is like very warm and very dim.
Yeah.
And so you're never really getting a good, you're never getting a real, it's kind of kept. I don't know why this is terribly important. I like the lighting.
The lighting was good. The one last thing that we probably need to cover in terms of plot points is that there's someone missing from the party.
Yes, Choi.
And I made a face because I've watched this movie two times and I didn't know the guy's name was Choi. I thought it was Troy.
Troy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you wrote down Choi. I'm like, David.
Stupid.
Just because he's Asian doesn't mean his name's Choi, you fucking racist piece of shit.
No. I actually, in my notebook pad, as I was taking notes for this movie, I wrote down Troy every time. Mm-hmm. And then as I was doing this and looking at IMDb for the names, he was listed as Choi, and in the movie, every time you're kind of like, did they say Troy? So I wasn't sure. Anyway, his name is Choi,
and so he's not there, and his wife is. She said that he left earlier to bring something, so it's kind of weird that he's not there. But it's also like he's kind of flaky.
Yeah, he's so, a known flake.
Yeah. But that's an important plot point later on, so we gotta.
It sure is. It. Yeah. So Choi doesn't make it, and everyone's kind of like, where's Choi at? Where's Choi?
Fucking Choi.
Hey, that crazy guy. He's never around. So then the party is kind of drawn together. Everybody's drawn into the lounge room, and the real reason they have been invited to this house is kind of introduced. And so they play this video for everyone. Great way to introduce the reason you're bringing everyone to your house for a party.
Right,
but they play this clip. Here is a sound bite.
This is our home in Sonora, Mexico. And it is your home, too, if you choose it to be. Our home and our family is open to anyone with the desire to help themselves. The human brain has a remarkable ability to heal. My life's work has been to discover new ways to rewire, to rewrite our experiences with trauma. But trauma has visited all of us. We invite you to a conscious existence, to a connected existence. But we take this journey, all journeys, side by side. You are not alone. Wherever you are, we transcend.
Did that sound strange and kind of muddled and not really? It was vague at best.
Yeah, it feels culty.
Yeah, feels a little culty. Yeah, it feels a little culty. And then, in this video, they watch a woman die. A young woman. The next... So, if I let this keep playing...
Yeah, they show that same guy, like, kind of hovering over this woman, and it looks like she's hypnotized.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, where she's talking about...
Or drugged.
You know, who she wants to see is her husband and her child or something like that. And then slowly she just stops breathing.
Slips away.
And she slips away into death.
So this is being shown to a dinner party.
To where, see, this is where this movie is great, because the reactions are actually very realistic.
Very.
To where you would think that if you're in that situation, you'd be like, what the fuck, man? Like, fuck this shit. And they'd stand up and walk out. But everyone's like, there's this social contract that you're like, this is weird, but we're here to just be supportive and have fun together. So let's try to, like, roll with it.
Some people are speaking out a little bit, you know, like, that was kind of fucked up. Excuse me, what was that?
Yeah, did that person just die? Why did you show that to us? That's awkward to show at a dinner party. Don't do that.
I forgot to mention that right before this video, Eden and David shared that when they were down in Mexico, they had been part of the invitation, quote unquote.
Right.
And everybody.
And so it sounds like everyone knows what
everybody
that is.
Had a visceral reaction to this. They were like, oh, yeah, really? The cult? And they were like, no, it's not a cult. Let me show you this video to prove it's not. It's like, this is the exact tool that a cult would use as soon as the word cult was brought out to prove that they weren't a cult. Look how not culty we are. We have a video to deal with this.
There's like a, I remember watching kind of an, I think it was an internal video for Scientology, or maybe it was like an introductory video for Scientology. But the one notable thing was how they made it very specific to call out that they were technically a religion. That they're like, we're definitely not a cult because, look, we qualify as a religion.
Wow. That's the most, when you have to do that, that's just so,
yeah,
that's just all my alarms in my head are just like, woo, 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 cult, cult, cult. So at this point, everyone's now, it's, if it wasn't weird before, it was, it is now. And then everybody kind of, you know, disperses a little bit. They kind of go back to talking and
this is, we can cut this out if we need to, but okay. I just was reminded of a Maria Bamford clip.
Oh yeah.
Of do you remember her bit on cults?
Mm-mm.
Let's see if I haven't listened to this before, but we'll see if this is usable.
So one day I was feeling really down at work, and I was feeling kind of down. I was drinking non-dairy creamer straight from the carton, and that's a bad day. And this girlfriend came up to me, and she said, "Hey, Maria, I've been taking this class. It's really changed my life. Would you like to come to a newcomer's class at 7:30 p.m.? There's no obligation, and it's free." Sure, I'll join your cult.
It's exactly like that in this movie of like, hey guys, I've just learned how to move on from all fear and pain, and I just wanted to let you know, if you know, watch this video.
It's attainable for all of you. Let's watch this video.
Okay. Thanks for sharing your cult with me.
Man, Maria Bamford is great.
She is fucking awesome.
Does not get enough play.
As far as like women comedians, she is.
Oh, she's the top tier.
The one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
And she's just not even given any recognition for how good she is.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's I think there's a little bit having to do with her mental health.
But that's part of it, though. I've been watching Maria Bamford since the 90s, and she's been
Look at you, hipster.
Great.
Look at you, hipster. So as Will makes his way, he's kind of re-exploring this house. And as he does throughout this movie, he kind of has flashbacks about his life with Eden before. And so he has a flashback where he's in the tub with Eden. He is remembering, oh yeah, I mean, we were bathing and we were having a good time. And
yeah. So, I mean, like throughout the movie, the kind of major, I mean, not a major spoiler, but one of the things that is revealed slowly throughout the movie is that there is a personal tragedy. They lost their son, and that's pretty much the reason why they broke up. Was the grief surrounding the loss of their son. I don't think they ever explained what happened with their son.
There was another child at a birthday party at their house, and it was like a pinata thing, swinging a bat or something like that. It was a blunt force trauma to the head.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. I don't know if it was a pinata thing, but it sounded like the cause of death was a bat and some blunt force trauma.
Huh. So, yeah,
that's
the whole subtext is that they've got this personal tragedy, and the way that they react to it is very different between Eden and Will.
Yeah, and the portrayal of grief in this movie, as I said before, is just right, and you can sense it in the tension between Will and Eden, and like I know I said this before, but Eden really plays this unhinged, like keeping it together, but secretly unhinged woman. And up until you learn that they had a kid, and now there's no kid here at the party. Uh-huh. Now it kind of starts to make sense.
Yeah.
This is why she's such a wreck. and why Will is so tense.
Yeah, and then Will contrasting is just depressive.
Right.
Like his reaction is
sadness.
Like just sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas hers was it was revealed through
avoidance.
Yeah. Avoidance and self-mutilation and like, you know, he takes a look at her wrist at one point in the movie to kind of like see if there's cut marks or scars or something like that. And so now in the movie, a little bit of the focus shifts onto these two guests who have showed up, just kind of no one knows who they are. And they seem to be tools. These two people, Sadie is kind of the sex kitten who is there to simultaneously sex up the guys and lower the inhibitions of the women.
Right.
Right. Like, it's fun to be nude. It's fun to, you know, it's fun to have sex. Everybody likes that, right? And the women are kind of like, it's fun to have fun.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that, so between Sadie and Pruitt,
mm-hmm.
they're two complete strangers to everyone in the room except for David and Eden.
Right.
And just thinking about it now, that is kind of like the threshold for like an internal power among a group.
Yeah.
To where if it was just David and Eden and Sadie, I'd feel like, why did David and Eden bring over this weird chick?
Yeah.
Like to this party? No one knows her. But once you add Pruitt, all of a sudden it's like there's a group of people in this party that know each other.
Right.
And like they're not weird. Like they're here and part of it together kind of thing. I don't know how to describe it, but
no,
it's
there's a click that I'm not privy to.
Right.
Oh man, I'm getting
so we're like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's when when you go to someone like a friend's party and there's two groups of friends, you know, there's like the group of friends that, you know, and then groups of other people that you've never met before. But they have a relationship with the host, and they're also, you know, demanding of their time, or like there's internal interactions and dynamics in a party that are around that. So I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting aspect.
It is interesting, and in this, it's also nefarious,
right?
Because then a massive man shows up to the party and he's like, hey guy. And he's giving big hugs to mm-hmm. David and Eden and Sadie. Mm-hmm. And he's totally he's not in the, what would you call it? This is not his clique. Like right. He's an older.
Everyone in the party is like
30s,
20 to 30 something. Yeah, probably 30-something.
He's got 10 years on everybody.
Young professionals. I don't think any of them have kids.
These people are dressed up for a party. They're mm-hmm. pretty. They're young. And then this
like
dude...
high-power, intelligent people. And then just this big, older dude comes in.
Wearing slacks and a polo shirt and a belt. Mm-hmm. And mean in business, and he's got a bald head, and he looks like your uncle, you know, your strong.
He's got like
uncle.
He's got this alpha dog energy.
Yes,
where he's like just arrives, and you just feel like he's thinking, I'm in control.
His shoulders are square. He moves with everything about him exudes confidence, and which is strange because he doesn't fit. And then they start to play the I want game. So in order to kind of release we're trying to get you guys into our cult vibe, Eden is like, how about we play a game of I want? And she's like, I want everyone to just feel happy and good and release all their suffering. And as we work our way through the movie, we get little bits of, you know, this couple is gay and they have some shared pain about their experiences. Ben and his wife are having a hard time in their relationship. So not only are these all old friends, but they all have a common bond of, you know, a traumatic experience or event in their life. And so in this I Want game, the young lady...
It quickly devolves into truth or dare,
yeah,
basically.
She
Except
asked for
it's
coke.
Like the truth or dare where you don't have a choice. Like, I'm going to do this to you now.
And it starts to get kind of weird, and Claire, one of the single people at the party, she's like, I want to go. Like, can I get out of here? Like, I'm not feeling comfortable right now when I think Eden starts kissing Ben.
Yeah, it was the first time where it was like, this is too weird. Like, it's reached threshold. And Claire is the person that does what everyone that's watching it is telling the screen to do, which is just go.
Yeah.
If something's weird, you should just go.
Yeah.
There's no point in staying. And so Claire gets up and David is like, oh, Claire, don't go.
No, I mean, we can't go.
You can't go. I mean,
stick around for the,
and then
you got food.
This is probably one of the best scenes in the movie when Will stands up and he's like, just let her go.
Just let her go. How about you let her go?
Yeah. She wants to go. Just let her go.
My hackles are up.
In terms of like the bystander effect in psychology where people can see something going wrong, but they don't say anything because they expect someone else to.
Right.
It takes a special type of person to stand up and be like,
hey, how
about
you?
This is bullshit. Let her go.
How about you don't do this?
You're doing something kind of shitty right now. Why don't you stop? And he does the exact right thing and confronts David. And David, like, can't do anything about it.
Because there's social pressure.
Yeah, but it's obvious that he really, really wants her to stay.
Not only him, but Eden and Sadie and Pruitt. Now suddenly, their click is solid.
Right. And somehow, like, the whole feeling of being locked in and the reasons for why David would lock the door with a key
starts to feel more nefarious.
Yeah, it all of a sudden becomes more validated that something's wrong with that because... But at the same time, David's not, like, betraying anything. He's like, I just want everyone to have fun. I just want her to stay because I want her to have a good time, you know? And Will's like, no, she wants to go. Just let her go.
He's like, can I walk you to your car? And she's like, it's only 40 feet. And then he stands at the window watching her get to her car. And Pruitt's like, oh, are you in the Prius? The big guy is like, are you in the Prius? She's like, yeah. He's like, I parked behind you. So he has to go out with her, move his car so she can get out. And she's right as she's about to drive out of frame, her car stops and she in her car is out of frame. And Pruitt approaches her car by the side and Will's like, what the fuck? Like, what's happening? And we don't ever get to learn if Claire gets out. Because Pruitt did approach her car and then Will, you know, is kind of shooed away by David.
Yeah, it's a great element of uncertainty. And it's never answered by the end of the film.
No, we don't know. I don't hold a lot of hope.
I'm assuming that she made it away.
I'm assuming not, for almost for sure. It was pretty quick though, how quickly Pruitt turned back. It's hard to know real time versus movie time what exactly happened, but it feels like she could have gotten away. It also feels like maybe not. This movie has a decent amount of gaslighting in it for Will.
Yeah, this is like the defining feature of this film is being gaslit by people that have nefarious intent.
Yes. Oh man. This whole movie just makes my hair stand on end. There's just a lot of, you know, he's like, so what the fuck is this about? You know, he approaches each party goer in turn. It's like, what do you think is going on? And they're like, man, you know, chill out. We're just trying to have a good time. You know, I know things have been hard for you, but so there's, it's just nefarious and I don't like it, Bryce. I often feel that way. So at this point, Will heads outside. He's sitting by the pool, and he is approached by Sadie and the sexy little sex kitten. And she says this to him as they get down by the pool.
You can fuck me right here.
What?
Why should we deny ourselves ever? That's what it was like in Mexico, man. Everyone was just going for it. That's awesome.
I think you need to go back inside.
You don't like me?
I don't know you.
I could make you like me so much. I could make you beg me. I could do it without even touching you. Just with my voice. My breath.
Sick, Sadie.
You can hurt me if you want.
I don't want to hurt you.
You
can hurt me if you want. Now, this is just red alert all over the place.
Yeah.
So there's another through line in this movie is there's not good cell service here. And so calling for help or, you know, calling Choi to see if, you know, where he's at, it's not possible. But I do want to alert everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice right now. If this is a PSA, if you don't have cell service, but you are in an emergency, there's a good chance that you can get through to 911 because all cell towers and a lot of radio towers accept that call. And so even if it doesn't look like you can call emergency services, there's a good chance you can. There are circumstances in like places like Deep Nevada and that kind of thing where there just is not even any emergency services. But if you do find yourself in a bad situation, call 911 anyway. Anyway, so as it turns out, Choi left a message on Will's phone and he's like, "Hey, man, sorry, I'm
just outside the door. It's 7 o'clock. I'm early, man.
I'm early, so we'll see you at the party. Bye." So now Will's on high alert. He's like, "What the fuck's going on?"
Yeah, the other feature of the message is specifically he's right there, and he's trying to ask someone to bring something to the party because he doesn't want to go back and get it. So it's obvious that he wouldn't just turn around and leave.
So the flags are starting to go up. For some reason, Will sees David walk out into the backyard and light a red lantern, which is strange. And then Will is kind of shuffling through the house looking for shit, looking his son's old bedroom, and he finds the computer that they were showing clips to them on, and he plays this clip here.
I know you have doubts. Skepticism can be contagious. I wouldn't have known either before I saw the new truth and shared it with you.
This is the cult leader.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have believed, but it was revealed so clearly. Remember the reward. This beautiful moment is upon us. Tonight is the night our faith is made real. The hardest thing is to start. Just take this step. Believe. And give yourself over.
Will, let's go. Everybody's waiting.
I love you. I love you so much, my heart is breaking. I'm waiting for you.
So, at this point, Will is pretty keyed up. As you can imagine, he's seen and heard a lot of weird shit. And now it's time for dinner. Oh, no, they've already eaten dinner. And now it's time to sit down and have the dessert wine, nice wine.
We skipped over the best scene of the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is Will confronts them about the message. Like during dinner. They're having dinner and Will, like, lets it go on for a minute or two, and then he's like, "So, where the fuck is Choi?
Where would you say Choi is right
where
now?
Where is Choi?
Yeah.
No, fuck you. Where's Choi? Because he left a message on my phone saying that he was here early."
And everyone's like, "Hey, man, you know, you're kind of being a buzzkill
right
now."
And this is the point at where it all explodes. He's like, "This is fucking wrong. This is weird. No one's saying anything. Everyone's saying something. Like, everyone recognizes that something's off
yeah.
and bad. Where's Choi? Like, why are who are these people that are here? Like, everyone's being polite because you're just giving us good wine, and no one wants to say what's on everyone's mind, which is, this is fucking weird, and there's something really off about this. And he's, like, exploding, and he's, like, telling his ex-wife, he's like, this is bullshit, we lost a son, and, like, he's, yeah. All the emotion stuff is, like, coming up, because it's finally got to a point where he can confirm something is very wrong. There's someone's lying, and someone's not telling him something. Because Choi was there,
yeah.
But he's not here. So what happened to Choi? And then...
Knock, knock, knock.
Oh, it's Choi.
Hey, guys.
Choi showed up.
Hey, guys. Sorry I'm late. Work called when I approached the door. It's like, this is me right
This is
here.
Like the worst fear of anyone in this situation is that finally...
Shit.
I've called them on their bullshit, and I'm the wrong one.
Yeah, it's actually my bullshit, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that happens, and...
And he cools down for a minute, and then it's like, all right, so maybe we were wrong about this. Maybe this is just an innocuous dinner party with people that are trying to advertise a cult, but whatever. It's a good meal, good wine. And then they go to sit down and have, like, their final dessert wine. Will comes back out. He's calmed down. And, you know, they accept him back.
And at this point, Will starts to have a panic attack, basically. He's watching them pour the wine. He's making some connections in his head. He just viewed this video. That's the, like, cult leader basically saying goodbye to everybody, but it'll be okay.
Yeah, and he's... This is the other part that's really great about this movie, is that you see a lot of information conveyed from very, very subtle facial expressions,
right,
among the people that are in the cult, and just how they're acting about this moment feels like there's significance to them about what's happening now, which is basically just everyone's having dessert wine.
Yeah.
But the subtext is like, well, what's so important about this for them?
Yeah.
That we're sitting around drinking this wine.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's not a great history when it comes to cults combined with red drinks.
Bad, bad juju all over the place.
So Will.
So he loses his mind, basically, right during the toast of this dessert wine. He's like, no, don't fucking drink it. And he's smacking the shit out of everybody's hands. And everybody, you know, expectedly is taken very aback.
Yeah, because he'd just gotten over. He just, like, calmed down from one outburst. And now he's literally smacking expensive wine out of people's hands and saying, fuck this shit. Don't drink the wine. There's something's wrong.
Yeah, there's shit in there. And at this point, Sadie attacks him. Sadie comes running there's a calm. There's a moment where everyone's like, look at what you did, Will. Mm-hmm. How could you have done this? And he feels ashamed.
Like, Sadie's like, you ruined everything. And then starts attacking him.
Yeah, she affirms Will. Like, she, in her actions, confirms there was shit in that wine, and you fucked it up. She runs at him, attacks him, says, you've ruined it. You ruined it. And as she's attacking him, he pushes her. She falls down, bonks her head, and seemingly dies. You know, it looks like
she's unconscious.
Hurt very badly, at least, with some head trauma.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. And so the one gay guy goes over and is... starting to, like,
administer to medical help.
And they're like, what the fuck, man? What are you doing to Will? And then someone notices, like, wait a minute.
Gina is foaming at the mouth and passed out on the table. She took a drink of the wine and she is dying.
Yeah, she's the only one that drank the wine.
Right.
And so all of a sudden everyone's attention diverts to her. And they're like, I'm not feeling a pulse. She's not breathing. And she's like, she's just dying.
Now, this is all happening very quickly. We're describing the scene of events, but it was so quick in the movie. And at that very second, as everyone's looking at Gina, who's foaming at the mouth, David whips out a pistol and executes the gay guy administering medical help to Sadie on the floor.
Then it's in slow-mo, and everyone, it's the realization that, oh, fuck, these people are trying to kill us.
Yes.
That is what is wrong, is that the worst case scenario is the creepy cult is a murderous creepy cult, and we're in their spider web.
And now Pruitt is activated. At this point, once David executes one of the dudes, Pruitt is literally comes online, walks over to David. He basically, can I have the gun? And then he takes the gun and he just starts shooting people in the stomach.
Yeah. So everyone's just starting to be executed. And so then there's not a lot of time left in the movie. It's just the remaining people trying to run and get away. But hey, guess what? All the doors are locked and there's bars on the window.
Yeah.
And when they get to a window that they could break, the people are right outside the window. So they don't want to call attention to themselves. And it's like a home invasion horror at that point.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It really feels very claustrophobic. And Sadie comes back from the brink and she starts attacking people. And then, you know, there's just it's basically pandemonium. And there's a lot of stabbings. There's a lot of executions. And
then it cuts to Eden and she's like, obviously, she can't go through with this because, like, she's still not completely bought into the full cult thing.
Yeah, she's mess on the floor, and David is trying to talk courage into her. He's basically saying, you know, this is what we were
still
here
make
for.
It. We can still do it.
I know he said this was going to be the hardest part, and she kind of gets her second wind, and as Pruitt is attacking Will and Kira, Will's girlfriend, up in a kind of a conference room upstairs. He makes the fatal mistake of pushing Kira to the side and basically beating on Will, mm-hmm. and forgets about Kira. And Kira, man, she just wails on his head.
Yeah, it's a great death scene. Like it feels very like a visceral or very visceral, just the hitting him in the head, and he's like,
yeah, he's definitely on his last legs. So now finally, Eden is kind of the last bad guy left, and she doesn't really have a stomach for it, and she shoots Will kind of haphazardly
in the shoulder
and then turns the gun on herself and shoots herself in the stomach. Man, that's
right,
the worst
tum-tum.
Worst way to go.
Yeah, getting gut shot is not preferable.
So basically at the end of this movie is really the creme de la creme. It's the best.
Yeah, so I mean the major spoiler is they do kill the cult people. There's three of them left. There's Will, Kira, and
one gay guy left.
And so they're survivors, and they're all pretty beat up.
They go into the backyard
and, you know, kind of like hug and stuff. And then the final shot of the film is them looking out in the Hollywood Hills and coming to the realization that there's a lot of these red lanterns that are lit,
yeah,
dotting the hill. And then all of a sudden they realize that they're hearing people screaming,
emergency helicopters and ambulances and screaming and shooting. And
so, yeah. So the invitation has a pretty wide reach in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
And it's great. It feels that's a great element, and it's something that they mention once or twice in the film, is the Manson family.
Yeah.
It feels very murderous cult in the Hollywood Hills, or loose in the Hollywood Hills, except in this circumstance, like, they're, like, actual residents of the Hollywood Hills, which is probably more frightening.
Yeah. Yeah, final recommendations for this. This is really similar to home invasion horror. Mostly, it's just a really well-made thriller, and if that sounds like it's up your alley, go for it.
Yeah, it's very psychological. If you don't mind not having a lot of action in your horror movie, but a lot of dread and a lot of anxiety, then this is right up your alley. It's a great film. You should see it.
Yeah, totally agree. For me, this is a 10 out of 10. And so now let's play Lifetime Movie or Horror Movie. Lifetime Movie or Horror Movie is a game where I pose a description of a movie to Bryce. I read him the description, and he has to guess whether this is a Lifetime movie or a horror movie. So I have five descriptions to read to you. A winning score would be 3 or better.
Okay.
Okay, first movie. While on a trip to drop off her daughter at college, Rebecca Mayer's protective mother instincts kick in when they are terrorized on the highway. She will keep her daughter safe at any cost. It's tough.
That is tough.
It does use a full name. It does use her full name, Rebecca Mayer. This is a key element to descriptions in Lifetime movie or horror movie.
Oh, really? I didn't even notice that. I think you're trying to put me off. I'm going to say it's a horror movie because I don't think that a Lifetime movie would be exclusively on the road because it's not something they could shoot in a soundstage easily.
Oh, that's a lot of thought. Unfortunately, it did you no good. This is a Lifetime movie. This is a Mother's Rage.
Okay.
Isn't that the most Lifetime movie title?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, 041.
Fuck.
Here we go. Here's our second description. A husband and wife learn that the biological father of their adopted baby daughter will stop at nothing to get her back.
Oh, man, this is a good one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's so 50-50 that I'm just gonna go... Oh, man.
Yeah, you can't put your finger on it.
What could it be?
You want me to read it again?
I'm going to say this is... Yeah, go ahead and read it again.
A husband and wife learn that the biological father of their adopted baby daughter will stop at nothing to get her back.
Now, is this like the actual quoted thing, or did you rewrite this in any way?
No, I don't rewrite them.
All right. I'm going to say it's a Lifetime movie.
Ooh, that's pretty good. It is.
Yeah.
It's a Lifetime movie. This is Adopting Terror. Okay, Bryce on the board with 1-0. Soon after, here's the third description. Soon after a stranger arrives in a little village, a mysterious sickness starts spreading. A policeman, drawn into the incident, is forced to solve the mystery in order to save his daughter.
So that's a horror movie.
Oh.
And I think that's that recent one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think.
Wow, look at you.
I can't remember what it's called. It's like the girl's name. I keep thinking Mandy, but it's not Mandy.
So you're saying this is a horror movie?
It's a horror movie.
Okay, you are correct. It is a horror movie. It is not remotely the one you're thinking of. This is the Korean horror film The Wailing.
Okay.
Okay, on the board with 2. It's doing pretty good. You're on track here. Here's the fourth description. A young photographer and his girlfriend discover mysterious shadows in their photographs after a tragic accident. They soon learn that you cannot escape your past.
All right, this is a tricky one. This is going to be a Lifetime movie that's a ghost story.
That is so smart of you. Unfortunately, you just outsmarted you. You just played yourself.
Damn,
a horror movie. This is Shudder. Shutter, S-H-U-T-T-E-R. Not to be confused with Shutter, the wonderful streaming service that you can get a 30-day free trial to if you enter HMT at checkout.
All right.
Here we go. So
this is make it or break it.
This is make it or break it. We're down to the wire here. Will Bryce win or lose? Fifth description. A police officer's life goes into a tailspin the day her older sister, Cassidy, shows up at her door after 16 years of confinement in a psychiatric hospital.
I mean, I have to say, just from the name Cassidy, that it's a Lifetime movie.
If you're named Cassidy, you should be insulted right now. But also... confirmed, that is a Lifetime movie. This is A Sister's Nightmare. Congratulations, Bryce. You won Lifetime movie. Woo-hoo! Or horror movie. Hooray. And for our final bit, I don't actually have iTunes on this computer. I just realized I have it on my other computer. Would you mind pulling up iTunes on your phone and giving us a description of
You could go to the... website. I'll pull it up, but you can, if you go to our website and click through the Apple podcast thing, and it'll have it on there.
Okay. All right. Oh, baby.
You'll baby?
Oh, baby.
Oh.
All baby.
All baby.
All baby. What the hey?
What does that even mean? Okay. I got them up here. Okay. I think we've read a lot of these.
Okay. Well, yeah. Read
the most recent one.
You can pick and choose. You know, this is our bit. We can do whatever we want.
Okay, we got the top one. I think not the most recent one, but
the most important one
from July 11th, 2019. Review titled "Penis." 5-star review. These guys have the biggest trouser trees I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know that kid. He's confirmed seen my wiener.
Okay,
no, he hasn't.
And then, yeah, I mean, I think we've done these.
Well, I mean, we haven't read all of them.
All right, well, let's read all of them then. Second review. This is one of our favorites. August 10th from reviewer Cock Goblin, spelled K-O-K-K Goblin. Review titled Sheeple. 1-star. More BS from sheeple trying to convince people that Hereditary is not a dumpster fire.
Fight me, idiot.
Yeah.
It is not a dumpster fire. You're a troll.
June 18th, left a review titled Probably their best movie, ... and cuts it off. 5-star. These guys are fun, funny, and know their way around what makes movies good, not to mention they aren't snobs and don't take themselves too seriously. Way to go, guys.
Hey, thank you,
Deed. What's our first one? Let me find the first review. Oh, we got a good number of reviews here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Our first review was titled Legit. 5-star. These guys know their stuff. Pay attention while they break it down and go deep. Too real for most people, but they are legit.
Too real.
Posted by a tree farmer in the Couve. I know who that is.
Hey.
It's a friend that I made.
Thank you, everybody, for giving us nice iTunes reviews, or just nice reviews anywhere, but especially iTunes. We sure do appreciate you, and it does help the podcast when you do that, because eventually we'll be able to get on Rotten Tomatoes and be taken super serial by everybody, not just you. So we do appreciate it. So with that, thank you very much for listening. Remember to subscribe, share this.
Sorry, I was trying to click on this.
So again, thank you for listening very much. Remember to share this episode or this podcast with a friend. Make sure to subscribe. We do release new episodes every single Wednesday. If you'd like to help us out, remember, just head to our website, www.horrormovietalk.com. At the top, there's two buttons on the right. They are green, and they are Patreon, and they are Amazon. If you click through the Amazon link and then buy something from Amazon, you'll be helping us a lot. And if you click on the Patreon button, you'll be taken to Patreon, where you can pledge Right now, $5 will get you in the door and into the Horror Movie Talk Founding Members Club, where you will give you will be given access to all Patreon promotional material, content, all the things into oblivion for as long as you subscribe to us. Once we do get more tiers than just the one $5 tier. And of course, you are perfectly welcome to pledge more than $5.
Or less.
So go ahead and do that. So with that, thank you very much and have a great week. We love you guys very, very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
It was an accident!